Hey friends, welcome back to the Live with Audacity podcast. You're listening to episode number 60. Today's episode is with my personal friend that I met right here on the internet. Nicole Terrell is a mindfulness coach for passionate mamas, and today we're talking about how to use self-awareness to manage our mindset, dealing with icky emotions, and processing them in healthy ways. This podcast episode is so epic, and you're going to be blown away. But before we dig in, I've got a question for you. Do you struggle with knowing your purpose? Do you struggle with remembering who you even were before you had kids? You know, you like this and you feel happy when this is happening, but do you know how that all fits together? If you're confused or frustrated in any way when it comes to discovering your purpose, I've got the solution for you. Let's jump on a 1-hour clarity call and finally get you headed in the direction of your dreams, boo. You're tired of wondering where to head. You're tired of the grind of your job coming between you and your family. Come on, how long are you going to wait to make your dreams a reality? Sister, time is marching on, and your dreams are waiting for you to live them. God is waiting for you to step into your purpose that He put on your heart. Let me help you get the clarity you need to start helping the people who are looking for you right here, right now. Go to livewithaudacitynow.com and click coaching to book your call. Let's freaking do this already. Book your call and I will see you there. Okay, are you ready to hear from my good friend Nicole Terrell all about mindfulness? Let's get out your pen and paper because this one is pretty juicy. You're listening to the Live with Audacity podcast. Hey girl, hey, I'm Melissa Stewart, mama to 4 kiddos ranging the age from college student to first grader, wife to a high school football and track coach, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. Audacity is defined as intrepid boldness or disregard for normal constraints, and that's exactly what we have here. As a super busy mom who is easily distracted, I struggled to get focused on my goals and see results in my life and business. But I realized to make any progress, I needed to implement simple, efficient systems that worked for us without adding to the overwhelm and making me feel boxed in by rigid schedules. And I want to help you do that too. This podcast is aimed at giving you tangible tips and tools to get your life together, finally focus on the calling on your heart, and do it all in the way that works for you. So come on, boo-boo, it is time to get focused, get intentional, and live with audacity. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning back into the Live with Audacity podcast. I am, of course, air quote excited, not air quotes really, but I say excited every single time I start recording with someone. And because it's true, I am so blessed to get to talk to all of the most amazing people here on the podcast. Today I get to have a person that is becoming a very, very close friend to me. Her name is Nicole Terrell. And what she does is she helps women live an incredible life using feminine energy and taking that feminine energy, using it to manifest, but also be mindful about the intentions that they're setting and really stepping back when they are reaching a tough spot or something like that, and really getting very present with their thoughts and understanding where they're coming from and why they're there and things like that. So she is basically the total package. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm really excited. Also, not air quotes.
I love that. Oh, God, I love you. Okay, so we are talking today a little bit about what you do and kind of how you got here. So tell us a little bit about how this all came about for you.
Oh, gosh. Where do I start? Well,
I know it's a long story, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, I have been really passionate about manifesting for, I want to say, my whole adult life, like ever since I started learning about personal development and the fact that our thoughts create our reality. And what I love so much about it is, for me personally, as a child that grew up in some pretty like abusive and traumatic experiences, it's just imagination. And it's the one thing that I cultivated from a very young age. And it allows me to create a sense of safety where I'm at, regardless of what is going on in my world around me. I haven't always been super great at seeing that stuff appear in my physical, you know, experience. And what I've had to learn is to take leaps and to, you know, to get really clear on like the feelings that I have underneath that are, you know, keeping me from actually vibrating along with that same thing that I'm wanting to create. And that's where mindfulness comes in, because we can be positive vibes and high vibes and, you know, good thoughts only. But when there's actual fear that's underneath the surface, it's holding on tight and you can't just vibe it out. You really have to face it and give it its space to be heard.
I think that is so important to point out, because I often talk a lot about how it feels like in our head we have two brains. And I know probably one is technically the conscious mind and then the subconscious mind, but sometimes it literally feels like there's two people inside there going, okay, look, here's what we're doing. We're going to do this. We're going to focus on this. And then the other side, or the back, or whatever you want to call it, is like, dude, that's never going to happen. You're never going to be able to do that. And so like, it's this internal battle inside of your mind to know, yes, I can do it. No, I can't, whatever. And I think it's really important to, instead of, like you said, vibe it out or over positively try to extinguish it, because it never actually goes away when you do that. It's so important for us to get really mindful about, why is that there? Why do I keep thinking that this couldn't work, or, you know, whatever? So tell us a little bit about how you manage that. And if you have any tips for us, that would be great.
Yeah, I have a couple of tips that have been really, really helpful in my own journey. And what I find is the more I practice them and the more I face this, you know, this shadow self, this piece of me that, you know, is wanting to hold on to what it thinks reality is, the more I start to sense it earlier on so I can catch it before it's like too insidious. And so when I start to feel those urgent feelings, or I know that there's some fear around what I'm wanting to create that's different from what my current experiences, I will sit down, and I usually will have to, you know, with young kids, I have to actually like schedule out the time, and I'll sit down and I will just list out all the fears I'm having around that particular thing. And then I just, yeah, I give it its space. I sit in it and I feel scared and I cry and I, you know, I allow it to envelop me and be in its full expression of fear and urgency and desperation. And then it processes. It's like when you hear about how kids know how to process trauma or something, and they, you know, they fall down and they cry and they scream it out, and then they're better. You know, that's what we've lost as adults, is we don't give ourselves the space to fully process something. And so then it just keeps being there, you know, getting stronger and holding on tighter the more we try to pretend it's not there.
Yeah, the more we resist, the more it's like, oh, I'm coming for you. you know, I will say that, and I've mentioned this in the podcast before, I don't know if it's live or even which episode it was, but I've mentioned before that when my kids were little, the boys were little, I, you know, when you're a young mom, you just kind of, you parrot or mimic things that you like that your parents did for you when you were little. And so I would tell them, no, like, stop crying. You're fine. Like, it's mm-hmm. okay. It's okay. It's going to be fine. Like, it's okay. Don't cry and things like that. Or I know you're mad, but like, let's calm down. Like, let's feel this or not feel this. Like, let's work this out. Let's see how we can fix it right away, because I never wanted my kids to have those negative emotions. And then when they were probably, I don't know, mid-childhood, maybe 8 and 10-ish, I realized, like, we tell our kids all the time to stop crying or get over it or whatever, and we're basically beating that out of them. Not actually beating, but, you know, we're training that out of them, that they can't have those emotions or negative emotions are bad. And at the end of the day, all we're really doing is getting them to pile it up inside of them. And then one day it's just going to come out and rear its ugly head in a terrible way, which is exactly what happens to us as adults, right? Like, we end up going through those midlife crisis and we want to throw it all out the window and run away.
Yes.
Because we've never dealt with that stuff. So, man, it's so empowering to be able to just be like, you know what? I'm going to feel these feelings and they just are going to be what they are. And then, you know, then I'll move through them, right? Because we also mm-hmm. can't stay stuck. Talk to us a little bit about that, though. Because I know there's always two sides to the spectrum, right? There's, or at least, where some people are like, I'm going to feel the feelings, and then they get stuck in the feelings. Or they're like, I'm not going to feel the feelings, and they just try to get over it and move through it, and then it just sits there. So talk to us a little bit about the people who sit in the feelings for too long and how they can move through those and get out of that.
Yeah, that actually leads perfectly to the other tool I wanted to recommend, which is I've created a container that on the top of it, I've put in real pretty sticker letters. These will be here when I'm ready. And that is where I put the stuff that, like, I need to deal with, but maybe not right now, or maybe not all at once. And so with that container, when I'm feeling feelings of uncertainty or questions about the future or how something's going to work, or potentially there's this thing that I've been processing, but I can't process it all in one sitting, I journal it out or I write it on a note card and then I put it in my container. And I've had a whole ritual with that container where, you know, I sat with it and I built it and I made it pretty. And then I just energetically, like, gave it the power to hold on to the stuff that I can't deal with in that moment. And then when those feelings start to leak out, that's when I go and I'll give myself a timer, however long it may be. Maybe it's 5 minutes, maybe it's 30 minutes. And I can just sit there and be with my worries and my fears. And then I put them back in and know that they're safe in there.
That is the most genius thing I think I've ever heard, ever. And holy crap, I'm totally going to do that this weekend, because, you know, it's like it gets out of you and you know, like, hey, I know this is something I need to deal with. So you're acknowledging it and you're not just burying it deep down. Like, okay, I'll just never like, this will just go away eventually. You're actually acknowledging it, putting it in the container and saying, you know what, I'm going to come back to this when I actually have the strength, or I have the time, or I have the, you know, emotional capacity to actually deal with this, but I know this is something that I need to deal with. And I feel like it's just like a to-do list, right? When you have all those things on your to-do list and you brain dump them, and then you're like, okay, they're out of my head, and at least now I know I won't forget about them. Man, that is so powerful.
Yeah, you're
How
not
in the
just
world did you come up with that?
Forever hold. Right. Well, and some of the things, what I've experienced, there was actually a period, maybe like 7 or 8 years ago, where I ended up in a hospital because I was going through some severe depression. And it was after my first marriage ended. And during that time, while it was an incredibly unhealthy space, and, you know, state mental health definitely made me sad during that situation, but I use that time to write out forgiveness letters for all the things that I had experienced, all the people who had contributed. And this is not to say that it was blame. It was more like a letter of like what had happened and what I learned from it. And then, you know, how I could see that there was some good in it and how I could forgive. And I remember for my ex, he got a 16-page letter and I didn't deliver these letters. They just sat in my journal and that was my container at that time. And I will say, you know, after that experience and then a little bit of time, like I can now, you know, look at my ex without any kinds of negative triggers. Like they got processed there and then they were held safely in that space until, you know, I could have revisited them and I didn't actually end up needing to. And that might be what you find, but just knowing that they're there and that you're not burying them or pretending they're not there, they can, you know, your psyche can do what it will with them, whether it be process or whether it be come back to periodically as you, like you said, have the mental capacity and then it gets better.
I love that so much too, because I have tried to write some letters, but you're right. I have to be in the right mindset to actually be able to write down all the things, because otherwise I'm like that person that just wants to move forward and forget about it. And then I'm like, ugh, whatever, I'm over this. And I don't want to waste the energy going back to have to relive it. Right. But again, you got to wait. And I feel like, and it's just me, I have to wait until I'm in a place where something detrimental is coming back up again, and then deal with it right then, rather than like right now. Let's just pretend I wanted to write a letter to my ex-husband. I couldn't actually do it right now because I'm not in the headspace or the emotional space to dedicate the energy to dig all of that back out. But if something were to come up, which I know it will one day, you know, we have kids together, then I can deal with it when it comes up. But for now, it's just sitting there. So do you have any advice for people that kind of feel like that? Like they know they need to deal with it, but it's just not really the right time.
Yeah, I think it's really important to recognize that it's not having an effect on your life right now and to work with the stuff that is. And that's where you get to peel back the layers. And like, I don't know if you've heard of EFT or tapping.
Yes.
Yeah. So I used to try to do that on like the stuff from my past, you know, the abuse that I experienced, all the different experiences that I knew played a role. But because I had spent so many years numbing out from them, I wasn't able to experience any relief from the tapping because I just didn't feel in it. Like it was numb experiences and I was trying to tap through emotions that weren't available to me. And so you sometimes have to start dipping your toes in it and facing the emotions and getting to where they are coming to the surface enough to be dealt with, because dealing with them when they're buried under all sorts of layers isn't really going to do anything.
Right. And I think too, like there's so much stuff in there a lot of times that you have to be wholehearted about it, right? Like if you're tapping on this emotion or this event or something like that, then you have to be like wholehearted into it and not half-assing it, let's say, because, right, you know, if you're doing that, then it's not going to be effective. You have to be all the way in it and focused on, like, I don't know. Maybe focused isn't the right word, because you don't want to, you know, be
mindful, present of where you're at.
Yes. Mindful. Yes, right. That's the right word. Gosh, you're so good with words.
Well, because the thing is if you're dealing with, like, you know, I'm so tired of my son's teacher telling me, you know, telling him what to do and he's not communicating clearly, and that's your present issue, and you deal with that one, you might find you peel a couple layers of that. And you really hated when your ex used to not communicate his needs clearly. And then you're getting closer to it by dealing with the thing that was having an impact now.
Oh, that's so good. Oh my gosh, that's so genius. Ah, see, this is another thing I needed today. Awesome. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about it. So talk to me a little bit about manifesting with the moon, because I know you talk a lot about that in your community and things like that. And so I just want to, let's talk about that a little bit. How do we do that?
Hey, yes, I love manifesting with the moon. And what I love so much about it is that as moms, I think we've gotten so used to trying to be all the things and do all the things. And, you know, we can't accept help, whether it be because we feel bad accepting help or because nobody can really do it right anyway. Manifesting with the moon is like an entry point into learning how to be supported. And the moon is, you know, it's just so powerful. Like, we're being supported by feminine energy and cycles and, you know, the natural world. And so, you know, I think that when you start to work your life in cycles, such as with the moon, then you start to learn to have a little more faith, which is what's so important in manifesting. So you on the new moons, you set your intentions for the beautiful things that you want to create. And then you're aware that you're just planting seeds. You don't expect those to appear tomorrow. And so then you get on this cycle. And then what I've found is by committing to this cycle of moon rituals with the new moon and the full moon, my life has started to experience so much more flow because I'm setting intentions and then giving them space and releasing some of the urgency that my life needs to change right now.
Oh man, that's so good. I love it so much. So, okay. So explain to me the difference between the new moon and a full moon and how those relate to our manifesting.
Yeah. So the new moon, it's the darkest night of the month. That is the time for setting intentions. It's got an energy of creation and, you know, and so it's basically like you're planting the seeds in the fertile ground. And then the full moon with its light shining down on us, that is a cleansing energy. And that is the time when you want to get clear on the things that you may have in your life that are preventing you from experiencing the intentions that you set on the new moon. And it really doesn't matter if you start your practice on a full moon or a new moon. I think it's super important to make a commitment to keep doing it because you'll just start to see the magic unfold more and more with each month. But you're always going to have stuff you need to release or forgive. And so if you start on a full moon, that's perfect. And if you start
on the full moon,
that's perfect.
Sorry.
But, yeah. So
on the full moon, we release.
What's that?
On the full moon, we release.
Yes, we release, we forgive. You know, and it might be we are forgiving the people that we feel, you know, resentment for, or it might be we're releasing the beliefs that we know are keeping us stuck, or we're releasing the habits, you know, the habit of staying up too late trying to work on our business when we know if we actually got rest, we might be more effective. Or, you know, there's just, you start to get intuitive about it and realize like that it could be any number of things. It could be bad habits. It could be, you know, negative beliefs. It could be resentment for people. And you just, again, like with the emotions, you peel away layers, and the more you release, the lighter you feel, and the less you continue living the same experience that you've already been living.
Yeah. I think that's so important to point out too, right? Is that's what we do a lot of times. We just, you know, we get in this rut and it's like we just do the same thing over and over and over again and we don't really know how to change it. And I think, you know, manifesting with the moon is so valuable. And I feel like when we say things like that, people who aren't very woo or, you know, that sort of thing are like, oh my God, these people are crazy. But I think the overarching theme is making the intention, and really the, you know, the moon is very powerful. I, you know, If you don't believe me, you can Google it. I don't care. But I think the real point of all of it is that because the moon hits the same place, the same zone every month, the same phase every month, like clockwork, you know, it's a new moon and then it's a full moon. And it's just, that's like a forever thing. It's a great alarm, right? It's a great timer to say, hey, look, don't forget, it's now time to set your intentions and like, let's think about how we really want to be present and move forward in the world, and be the person that we are called to be, or the person that we really want to be. And then with the full moon, don't forget, we need to make sure that we are not focusing. I keep using that word and I don't intend to. We need to, you know, remember that there are things that are keeping us from what we really want to be and who we want to be. So like, let's deal with those right now. So I think it's, even if you don't believe in the magic of the moon, you can use it as an alarm, a timer to remind you, hey, make sure that you're taking some time to focus on these things.
Right. And it's also a chance for us to honor our cyclical nature as women. And, you know, if you're someone who loves manifesting or loves the idea of manifesting and you're trying to get up every morning and say your affirmations and keep your, you know, your energy in a positive state and visualize and stuff, like those are daily 24-hour things that like you might not always be able to stay with, but setting intentions once a month and releasing once a month, it helps you to see that you don't have to be on all the time. You don't have to be perfect or check off the list all the time. You have to work with and honor the natural cycles in your life.
Ooh, so genius. Okay, since you've been working with the moon on manifesting and releasing, have you noticed a change in your energy cyclically? Is cyclically a word? I'm not sure. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I've noticed that I am more accepting of like where I'm at each stage. And so, you know, it started with like, first off, I've manifested some pretty outrageous things since I started. But then even in the months where like major leaps and bounds don't happen, I'm recognizing things like, wow, I really do like this month. My intention is to rest more because I'm feeling burnt out. And so it's not so much like an outcome as a, like, I need to honor myself more and, you know, and live in the truth that is what I really want women to know, which is honor themselves, take care of themselves. You can't create from urgent and desperate energy. And like I've really honored myself more, but I've also seen, you know, more trust, and like my income quadrupled since I started in the first couple of months. And I was able to get myself into a home, which I didn't know if I would be able to do because I was self-employed and recently separated from my second husband. And what I've found is when you set intentions with a feeling of like, what is the feeling that you want to create? So not so much like, I want my income to be this much, I want these things, but like, I want a home for my kids. Like when you bring it into your body and you know that the thing that you're wanting to create will just fill you up with so much love, that's where intentions become magic and you see unbelievable results come forth in your life.
So good. So tell me this, when you are manifesting or setting intentions and like you said, I want a home for my children. Do you think it's really important to focus more on the why you want that thing? So like, let's just pretend my intention was, I want to make $10,000 this month, but I can say that all day long. but it doesn't give me the feeling that I would have if I was like, I want to make $10,000 this month because I have this particular debt that I want to pay off, because that will make me feel these things, and really embracing those feelings of pride and accomplishment and what's the word I'm looking for? Less stress for being able to pay that. Yeah. So it's, do you think the why is the thing that we need to focus on rather than the thing that we want?
Yes, absolutely. The why and the, and like you're also saying the feeling. So, and I think also when it comes to manifesting, it can be helpful to know our learning style, which I know is very like sciencey, but if you are more of like a visual person, then you might get more out of visualizing what life looks like with those things. You know, if you are more of a kinesthetic person, like I am with the touch, I imagine what life, you know, feels like to the physical touch, you know, the holding my children on my couch in my new home and how that feels, and just kind of play around with it and let it be an intuitive process that like, what helps you tap into the best feelings? Cause that's the whole point of this. It's not, it's not, you know, figuring out what the outcome needs to be or paying off the bills. It's like, what are the feelings that feel the best? You know, what is, you want to feel free. Well, you can actually feel free even when those bills are there, you know, and how can you tap into that now?
Yeah. And I think that also comes back to like you were saying, you can feel free now. Okay, exactly. And that is, you know, then we're focusing on the gratitude, right? And so they're all connected. And when we focus on the gratitude of where have I come from? How far have I made it already? And showing gratitude for the situation that you're currently in, and then also embracing the feelings of where you want to be, is kind of the recipe for manifesting and designing and accomplishing and going after exactly what you really want, right?
Right. Yeah. And you get to, like, it's helpful to, once you start getting clear on those feelings that keep coming up that you're desiring, how can you integrate those into your life? Like, if freedom is one of those feelings that you just want so bad, where else do you feel free? For me, I feel free when I'm going on a run. You know, that's how I can vibrate every day a little bit on that freedom frequency, you know. Ooh. So just getting really creative, and then you get to, that's what I love so much about manifestation. It's not just about the money or the love or the body you want. It's like, how can I embody a manifestation lifestyle so that each day I'm tapping into being the creator that I want to be, rather than feeling like I'm just living my life the way it is.
Right. And not just being like, okay, ATM, this is the thing that I want today. I'm ready for you to deliver it whenever. It's really tapping into the feelings and understanding, again, why you really want this thing, why it's so important to you, feeling that feeling of why it's so important to you to have this thing. And then, like you said, oh, which I super love, is embracing and embodying that feeling that you're looking for, that you're aspiring to right now, and finding a way to infuse that in what you're doing right now so that it comes about even more on the back end, right? You know,
yes.
Because we always say what you focus on, you bring about. Well, if we are focusing on feeling those feelings that we think these things, this $10,000 or this new car is going to make us feel, like you said, we can infuse it now and feel those things. And then we get closer to the things that we actually want. It's just like, it's so mind blowing.
Yes. Yes. It's magic versus like, once I have $10,000 a month coming in, then I'll start resting and I'll wake up and I'll work out. But like right now, I got to just burn the candle on both ends. That's not creating that $10,000 a month life.
Right. Because it's counterproductive to the feelings you actually want to feel when you have that $10,000. And I think that's the point that we need to drive home, right? Is it's not the $10,000 that you want. It's the freedom. It's the peace. It's the, I'm trying to explain this one feeling that I feel in my heart when I pay off a debt or when I, you know, can, you know, have, you know, a few thousand bucks sitting in the bank or whatever. It's just like that peace and that like pride and just, oh my gosh, I did it. Or I had self-control or whatever, whatever that thing is, that you're really looking for. So I think that's so important for us to drive that home.
Yeah, for sure. And once you think of that word, something tells me it's an important one for you. You should post it on your fridge.
I totally am going to the minute I figure out what it is. Honestly, it's probably peace, right? It's probably just, it's peace and pride.
Okay. See, because for me, I was thinking feeling safe and supported because that's the one I'm craving from those things.
Oh, okay. See, and that's the other thing too, people, is that just because I want to make $10,000 a month and Nicole may want to make $10,000 a month, we both have different reasons and different feelings that we're really searching for or desiring or craving. And so that's why it's so important to get to your why. It's not just to have 10,000 bucks a month so that you can rub it in people's face and be like, see, I knew my business would work. It's so much bigger than that, right? And you have to figure out what that is for you.
Yes. Yeah, so true.
Oh my gosh, this is so much fun. I could literally talk about this all gosh darn day. And it's so good too, because it really, you know, when people ask me about manifestation or the law of attraction and things like that, I'm like, oh, it's so encompassing. I just, there's no way to break it down into a couple of sentences. There's just no way. There's just so many moving parts.
Right. And there's, you know, and it can be a journey. Some people don't come into this idea of manifesting with all the baggage that some of us come into it with. And so like for me, I've been reading, you know, law of attraction books for 10, 15 years. I joke that my kids have heard you are a badass at making money, like way more than they would like to.
I have to tell you that I actually have the You Are a Badass daily calendar, and it's so good that some days I leave it on the day that I found because it resonates so hard for me. And so like right now I'm looking at Monday, August 24th, and it is now September 17th because I just like that one. It says, it's kind of long, but it says the subconscious mind believes everything because it has no filter. It doesn't know the difference between what's true and what's not true. If our parents tell us that nobody in our family knows how to make money, we believe them. If they show us that marriage means punching each other in the face, we believe them. We believe them when they tell us that some fat guy in a red suit is going to climb down the chimney and bring us presents. Why wouldn't we believe any of the other garbage they feed us? And so I don't love that they're just talking about parents on this one, but I do love the idea that, and I, you know, we talked a little bit right now about what you focus on, you bring about. And so if you're focused on those things, and again, you know, the subconscious has no filter. So if you're embracing those feelings and visualizing, that place that you want to get to, your subconscious doesn't know that it's not true. It thinks like, oh, that's a memory. That thing happened. And so therefore, when you relive it over and over as a memory, then you're taking the negative memories that you have out and replacing it with a memory that makes you really excited and happy. And then that thing, you know, spins around in your subconscious. And then you get closer and closer to that feeling or that place that you've imagined for yourself.
Yes, that is so true. And I was actually talking with a friend just yesterday about the way we have different beliefs that we just see as fact so often. And we were talking about body image. And like for her, it's never been an issue. And so like, if somebody were to come up and call her fat or like make some kind of comment like that on her Facebook, she would be like, what are you, stupid? Like, and for me, oh my God, that would cut me to my core. And I would go hide in a closet for the next month and like not want to be in public because that one feels true for me. But like for her, it's like, why would somebody even say that? That's stupid. And right. So it's like, we have to just like realize that just because we think something is a fact of life, whether it be the money we make or the fact that our bodies just want to be jerks and not release the weight that we don't want to have, like, it doesn't mean it's true. It's just something that we are experiencing right now.
Yeah. Man, that's so valuable and true too, right? Because again, if someone came to me and I mean, I can just make up all the examples in the whole wide world, but we have to break that belief in us that it's true or it's not true. If we don't want it to be true, we just have to work on that thing that we think is true and break it down and figure out where it's coming from and be really mindful about where it's right. coming from. And yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're totally right. Like, why is it that I see this as true? Or why is this feeling so triggering to me? If someone were to insult my intelligence, that wouldn't be triggering to me at all, you know, because I don't.
Because you know better.
Yeah, like I'm good.
Yeah.
You believe what you want to believe. But then the thing that feels like we want to get defensive, that's where we need to investigate a little and get present with ourselves.
So good. Oh my gosh, this is so much fun. I just want to talk all day long. So tell us a little bit about what you're working on now or where your business is headed.
Well, right now I am working on recording some guided meditations, hypnosis to help women to start to embody the things that they're wanting to experience in their life. I have my moon ritual guide, which I'm slowly adding meditations to the product. And then I'm starting to tap into my own creative, like, what kinds of things do I want to embody? What kinds of things do the women I know want to embody? And allowing my inner poet to start to flex her creative muscles.
Ooh, yes, I love that because I know, well, we'll cover this in just a minute because it's actually a question in my rapid fire. And I don't want to give it away just because I already know Nicole. Okay, so let's go ahead and do a rapid fire. What is a book, article, person, or talk that's changed your life?
I have been sharing this so much this year, but Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker. That book is about her journey to quitting drinking. And while I have not necessarily been an alcoholic myself, I have experienced the pull that habit can have if we allow it too much space. And yes. I've also been, you know, frequently in relationships with people who struggle with alcoholism. And that book just opened my eyes to not only like the things that we accept in our culture as just fact and as acceptable when, you know, they really aren't, but also the feminist perspective of like, why are we just allowing the world to tell us, you know, that this is how we're supposed to live, that these are normal rites of passage or whatever, and like not actually exploring our own truth. And so then we feel there's something wrong with us when, say, this poison that we're putting into our bodies is not reacting very well and we can't control ourselves. So,
yeah. I think that's a really great suggestion, and it is actually on my list because we have talked a little bit about it. I feel like with the pandemic, I think even people that you would never, you know, consider them air quote alcoholic previously, with the pandemic, it's been really so hard for so many people. And then also with it being endless spring break, it's like, dude, I know spring break is different as adults than it is as college kids, but it's still like, okay, well, we don't have to actually get up and go anywhere. So forget it. Like, I'm going to have a beer and I'm going to enjoy it. And, you know, now's the time that I can enjoy things that I wouldn't normally do because I have so many responsibilities. And then, you know, 6-7 months in, you're like, maybe this is not the best option anymore. Right. So I love your suggestion.
There's anything wrong with you that you suddenly are enjoying your beer, your wine 6-7 days a week. It just means that toxin is designed to keep you coming back. Like,
yeah,
you're following physiological responses. It's normal.
Oh, so good. And I can't wait to read that book. So tell me, what is your favorite Friday night at home?
Oh, I love being alone. I like to just have no responsibilities and to maybe read and to maybe take a bath. And I think this moment in my life, I've got a 3-year-old. So like a really nourishing Friday night is all the silence. And that's it.
Oh my God. I am literally considering renting myself a hotel room just to be alone. You know what? Forget it. I'll get my husband one too, and we don't have to be together. He can be in his own room and I'll be in mine.
Right. You respect his needs for silence too.
Absolutely. We all deserve a break. So what was your dream job as a kid?
Yes, we preluded to this. I wanted to be a poet. I used to write poems and like submit them for contests all the time. And I love poetry.
And I think you should totally write a book of poetry. I was going to say a poetry book, but either way, you should totally do that because I know that that's been a thing for you for so long. And you always heard that you can't make money being a poet, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say in 2020 that has to be impossible, right?
That's so true. Yeah. And I remember buying Jewel's poetry book and then Jim Morrison's poetry book, and they were just so amazing.
Yeah, and see, they sold their stuff. In fact, they turned it into, you know, they turn a lot of their poetry and stuff into songs. So maybe you could be a songwriter too. I don't know. So tell me, what is your next vacation that you're planning if we ever get to visit other places ever again?
Oh my goodness. You know, I find it a little hard to decide one because that's been a thing that has always been part of my that'll happen someday. And now in my 2020 version of myself, I'm like, no, these are things I do. And so there are camping vacations on my horizon. I also want to take my kids to Disneyland for the first time. And so I would say both of those. I think I want to go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. That's where the thing with the bubbles.
Yeah, so cool. That'd be so fun. Oh, so
Old
cool.
Faithful.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. I could get along with that. That sounds great.
Oh, and I think you mentioned an actual meetup retreat for all the people we have met and loved online. That's on my list.
Oh my gosh, it is so happening because I feel like I keep getting that nudge over and over and over again of people that want a space to connect with other women that are incredible and inspiring and motivated and things like that. So it is so happening. I have absolutely, you know, I used to always just think like, yeah, I think that's going to happen one day. Nope, I have decided. It is happening.
I am with you. And some of my best friends, like you're becoming one of them. Some of my best friends I've literally met on Facebook. And that's just so, like, if that's not abundance, I don't know what is. Because I grew up in the 90s. It was not that easy to make friends unless you were really brave. But now you can just, like, make lifelong, like, soul partner friends. And they're just right there for you. It's amazing.
I know. Oh my gosh. It is so crazy that you're saying that because I completely agree. I grew up in what was a totally small town. Now it's not as small as it once was. And you know, one of the things that I've always kind of struggled with is I always felt like I didn't fit in with other people. I am a lot to handle. I am the world's greatest cheerleader and I drink all the Kool-Aid and I want to be, you know, all in with everything that I'm passionate about. And that's, you know, as a kid in the 90s, that is so not cool. Like that's so
right. Like you have to not care about anything.
Exactly. And that's just not me. I just can't do it. So finding other women that are, you know, similar in that nature of just like, yes, driven and want to do the things, it makes me feel like, oh, okay, it's not me. It's not me. It's just that I hadn't found my tribe or my people yet. And so now I'm doing that and it feels so dang good.
It does.
And you are one of them, of course. So tell me your best advice to help our listeners live with audacity.
I would say learn to validate your own feelings, because when you don't need somebody from outside to validate something that's true for you, you have all the power in the world. You're no longer waiting for permission.
Ooh, yes, that's so good. Oh man, I feel like people look for permission elsewhere all the time. And I'm so glad that you brought that up. Like you are your own permission. If that's what you want to do, then just do it. I love it.
Right.
So where can people find you to get more information?
They can go to NicoleTerrell.com and then my Facebook group, which maybe in changing, but right now it's Passionate Mamas.
Yes. And I will make sure that I put the link in the show notes. So if for some reason it's not called Passionate Mamas at the time, I promise you'll be able to find it in the show notes.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Oh my gosh. This was so much fun. And everybody, I just want you to know real fast. It doesn't really matter to you guys, but we recorded an episode a few months ago. And for some reason, my side of the conversation didn't get downloaded or uploaded or whatever. And so we had to re-record. And I got to be honest, Nicole, I think this episode was life-changing. It at least brought some awareness and some things that I needed to be reminded of to me. So I pray that it changes somebody else's life as well. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Melissa. And I'm so glad we got to re-record. I was a little bit more lost and it's been quite a transformational summer. So this has
been
amazing.
I'm so grateful to you. I feel like you're totally stepping into exactly who you were called to be. And oh, it's so fun to watch.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Boo Boo. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. If you found value in this episode, do me a solid favor and take a screenshot, post it in your stories, and tag me. I love watching you grow and live up to your greatest potential. Let me cheer you on.